anything that I did those days, you know, as a child. A lot of people like to say that, Criminal Swag, why your music was better those days? Why are you singing this nonsense? I'm like, yo, dog, you guys, I never had even one hit those days. Criminal Swag was known, like, on a national level, but I can never say that it was a hit song. It was not.
I'm from a beautiful place, the Pearl of Africa, hailing with a 256. It's in my blood, that's a gem where the mountains rise. With stories untold, the tapestry of cultures unfolding, so vibrant and bold. A symphony of stars, a celestial light. The drums beating, echoing through the night, just like a beacon of light. A reflection that's coming up from the Nile. I'm flowing straight into the heart of Africa with timeless stories untold. Sup, dog?
Welcome once again to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show podcast for another episode where we promise to bring you the stories of your favorite people in Uganda, around the world. And today we're very honored to have the one and only Zaga Zillion, a performing and recording artist, songwriter, signed under Swang's Avenue. Zaga, welcome to the podcast, my brother.
Yo, what's up, my G? It's a pleasure to be here, brother. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for keeping time. They usually say like artists don't keep time, but you kept time. You were here before even the setup and everything. Thanks for keeping time.
Come on, bro. You know, you guys podcast, I just knew like, man, this is going to be something serious. I have to represent to the fullest. Eh? That's why I came. I came so quick. You get me?
I really appreciate that. I appreciate when people respect another person's time, so I know it's going to be a great conversation. And to have you here to see,
exactly,
to listen,
bro,
to your music journey, your life. You know, most of us, the fans, we enjoy your guys' music, but like we don't know your life outside music. We just see you guys on stage, come give us a show, and then you go. But I like podcasts because we get to sit down here and then you tell your fans and everybody about your life that you never get to share when you're on stage. So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Exactly. You know, this is an opportunity for us to see other sides of us, you know. Sometimes you people, you think we are robots. You don't know we are humans.
That is true. Yeah. I keep reminding people that even these musicians we see, the celebs we see, they are human like us. They go through the same problems we go through. It's like thinking about it in a way that we have our jobs. Each one of us have our different jobs. That is your job. So you are at work. It does not make you different because we also have jobs. But being an artist as a job doesn't make you different from a tax driver who is doing this job. We all go through the same thing, same economy.
We all hustling. All hustling. You know, we all hustling, bro. And to be honest, some of them taxi man, they're getting more money than even the artists.
That is true.
Some of them boys, they're going crazy.
That is true.
They're going crazy.
So, Zaga, how is life? How are you doing?
Well, life is life, eh? Life is life. You know, we are in the midst of finishing up my EP, you know, we have so many plans for the year. I can say this year has not been so easy. Like the start of this year, it has not really been so easy. But, you know, this is what we do, man. Like whether it's easy, whether it's hard, we keep the train going. We keep the train going. Yeah, man.
But outside music, because I know you said... this year has been hard. How has it been hard? Is it been hard like musically or just financially or economically? In which area?
Like the whole nine rounds, you feel me? Like, I mean, you know, like I feel like the world is going through like a Great Depression or something.
Yeah.
Everybody broke, dog. Like everybody broke. You feel me? Like everyone is making changes. I don't know what's going on, fam.
Yeah.
So, and it's affecting everybody, bro. Even us here. So we are all making changes to adjust with the current situation. But like I said, you know, like for us, we always meet challenges. Like whether it's financial, physical, or what. But man, there's, I don't know, I just have like this crazy endurance, man. Like I can never stop. Whether ever you cut my leg off, my arm off, I just keep going.
Keep going, keep going. And that's the spirit, man. That's the spirit that we all need. Like no matter what, just don't stop. Just keep going. Whether you go with one leg, just keep going. Anyway, I like that we dived into the conversation already and we talk about life and stuff. But I want to ask you, what is your real name? I know Zaga is your stage name. What is your real name that we don't know? I've listened to your music a lot, like for a long time. But I can't tell you that's his name. We know you by Zaga, Zaga, Zaga. And I mean, we always go by that. But what's your real name?
Yeah, so my real names are Zachary Mukiza. Those are my Zachary Matthew Mukiza.
Okay.
Those are my real names. And the whole reason for the Z, the Zaga Zillions, or even the Young Z, for me, I've always had an obsession with the letter Z because my name is Zachary. You get me? So yeah, man. Like I just love my name. I just love it.
That's why I was gonna come in with. Is that's how you came up with Zaga Zillion? Because I was gonna say, hey man, I like kind of guy. He has like a lot of millions, and he has like millions and millions and millions. That's how he came up with Zaga Zillion.
I wish, bro. I wish I had the millions, dog.
Yeah.
But you know, for me, since I was a child, like for me having the name Zachary, I just started like I loved the letter Z. I really loved it so much to the extent that when I was a kid, my favorite animal was a zebra, just because it also had the letter Z. This infatuation with the letter Z is what brought the Young Z. Then it's also what brought the Zaga Z.
The Jay Z, the Young Z. Hey, wait
a minute. Come on, you know this.
I get it now. You know, like that's why we do podcasts, because somebody's gonna be out there in Uganda. It's like, hey, man. Or he'll go, oh man, you know these stories of the Border Border guys? They'll tell about when the Border Border guys ask about who owns that building. And then the Border guy will tell you who owns that building, like the whole story. But so then another person who meets, like, let's say somebody met you, like he'll go back on the border stage and say, hey man, I met this guy called Zaga Zillion. Hey, I think he's the richest guy in Uganda. He has like a bunch of millions. But when they sit down to listen to a podcast on how you got to Zaga Zillion, then the narrative will be different.
They'll stop assuming that we are rolling in millions. They'll stop assuming. We are still working. You get
me? We're still working. So now the listeners, now you know. Don't be there thinking like, hey man, this guy has a gazillion. No, it's just a name. It's just
I'm telling you.
So where is Zaga? Do you mind if I call you Zaga throughout the interview?
For sure, bro. You're most welcome, man. That's my favorite way of people addressing me, actually.
Nice. Yeah. So we're gonna roll with that. So where is Zaga from? Like most people will be wondering, where does this guy come from? Where does Zaga come from?
Yeah, so, well, Zaga Z, Zachary Mukiza, I'm a Kampala boy, I'm a city boy, I was born here, raised here. I mean, my father is from Kisoro, that's where we get the Mukiza name and everything, and my mom is a Muganda, but for me, I grew up here in Kampala, like, my whole life, since I was a child, you know. We grew up in a good home, a very polished home, super polished, like, you get me? Both of my parents are business people, and they just grew us, like, to be something in the world, you know, in their own forms, you know. They are both different in their own ways, but they grew us, all of my siblings. I have many siblings. I'm one of eight, you know, we are many. So they just grew us to be the best, man, to be the best in anything.
That is true. And I appreciate that. And one of the things I noticed, I'd never spoken to you, but I know you're a humble guy. You know, you can tell somebody who is humble, even from your music video, like watching you in your music videos, in your interviews. You see, this guy is humble. Like, yes, when we were growing up, they would be saying, hey, those guys with dreads, they are proud, they're like, yeah, they're this. But like, you look at you, just humble guy, chill, no pride. And when you say that, you grew up in a polished home. That push, that's the icing on the cake, because we can see it. And when you say that, it just finishes up everything. So what has helped you? I mean, you said your family, on your growing up in a polished home, but what else in addition to that, that has helped you to stay humble and be humble?
I don't know. I think like, I feel like these traits, obviously I learned them also over time through my own experience, but also like it's in me, like it's just been in me. Like for me, naturally I'm just somebody who like, I even give you the shot off of my back, you get, and I don't think about it. It's just in me. Like, it's just in me. I don't know how to describe it for you. I feel like God, you know, my mother got for me this, there are those things, I don't know. You know, when you get your name written, and then they define your name for you. They define my name for me. And you know, it said that, oh, Zachary is a, he's among the best of men. He's freely expresses himself, a great leader when needed, bichi bichi. So, you know, I feel like those traits, like humble and, you know, just having a good heart, it was just like in me, dog. Like, this is something God just put on me, man. And he's like, yo, it's your job to deliver some light in the cold world. Because it's cold, dog. It's real cold out there. Like, man, people are... I don't wanna say something vulgar, but people are really effed up. You get me?
Yeah.
People are real effed up out there, dog. So
that is true.
It's up to us. It's up to us to bring that Kaize balance. You get me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We really appreciate that. And anytime I see a musician who is humble, down to earth, and I think that's why I appreciate your record label Swangs Avenue, because you look at all the artists that are in Swangs Avenue and their music is good, they are good people, like they're treating themselves well, you know, respect,
exactly.
So all that like comes with that. So I appreciate when I get to see the musicians who are treating themselves in that position. So we're going to talk about your music journey. When you decided, I was listening to a podcast, actually, let me shout out to the guys, the Mob Jazz podcast, who hosted you on one of the episodes.
Shout out, my boys.
That was a good podcast. I listened to it. And when I was listening to you were talking about your music journey and how you started singing. You said you started around when you were like maybe 8. I don't know. Might be wrong. But when you started your music journey, how was your reaction from your parents? You know, like, you know, some of the parents back then would think like, oh, my son is going to be a musician.
Well, bro, to be honest, like I fell in love with music at the tender age of 8, 7 around there. But my parents were not really aware. They were just like seeing me watching a lot of Trace, watching a lot of YouTube and stuff like that. But they weren't like, you get me? It wasn't until a few years later when I was around 10 years old, that's when I really started to take the music so serious, you know? For me, music bug already beat me. Like you said, at 8 years old, I fell in love. But slowly, like a year or two, the love was growing and growing. And that's when my father also noticed. And he was like, okay, man, you think you can rap? You think you know music? You like music? I know some guys, you know, I know some guys who are in the music business. So if they like you, then I'll support you. So that's, and I had a rap group at that time. So I was like, you get your guys and we go on the weekend to Swangs. For me, I didn't even know what Swangs was or anything.
Yeah.
But he took us, you know, he was friends with Benwin and Julius already. So,
oh, really?
So he took us and
so it was originally your dad that connected you to Benwin, right?
Yeah, he was. My dad is the one who put me in the music business.
Ooh. Now that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, okay.
He's the one who put me in the music business. So, he took us to Swangs one weekend and, we rapped for Julius and Benon, and to be honest, what I remember is we blew them away. We blew them out the water. They were so shocked. They're like, these three little kids. My group was called Stereo Beats, by the way. Stereo Beats. That was my first rap group. And we got signed. That same day, they were like, yo, let's do this. Mm-hmm. You know? So we got signed and yeah, you know, we started working with Swangs. But what happened was all of the boys in the group, their parents were like, man, this thing of music, quite right, you boys go back to school. They didn't want them to do music. So then it was just me left. My parents were the only ones. My mother didn't really like the idea those days, but my father was already supporting me. So yeah, they had removed everybody out the group. Now it's just me. And Swangs was like, okay, so there's no more rap group. It's just Zach. Let's do this now. It's a solo thing. So that's how Young Z appeared to come on the scene. Yeah.
So, and also I found this out. I didn't know, but like I found out that you were, so now you told us the story, you signed to Swangs, but then later on you left Swangs. What was the reason that you decided to leave Swangs? Now that we're on that topic, because I was going to ask you the question earlier, because when I was listening to your podcast or your interview, it was mentioned the return to Swangs happened. So you came back to Swangs.
Yeah.
What was the reason you left and what was the reason you decided to come back?
I think the reason I left Swangs the first time, anyway, it was such a long time ago, like,
yeah.
But what I remember, what I can remember, like we were having a bit of a disconnect, I think, in terms of how are we going to, how are we going to handle Zach's thing? Okay. Because let me tell you, Swangs, when I came to Swangs, I was the only guy who was doing like this type of thing I was doing, singing in English, what. Even Swangs itself wasn't really sure, like, man, we don't really understand this thing. They liked it, but they didn't really understand it and how to make money off of it. And, you know, so, but they still gave me a chance. And, you know, but after a while, like, it began to show more and more that, okay, maybe Zach needs somebody who is more tailored to exactly what he's doing. So that's when slowly, I left Swangs and I got a new management. I got a new management called Shadrach. And also me and Shadrach didn't really last long. Shadrach is also a big manager. Those days he was the one managing GNL, all the big hip-hop acts. He managed them.
Okay.
So he took me under. And when I went with Shadrach, I can say those were like the last days of the whole Young Z thing. But when I hooked up with Shadrach, my sound dramatically changed for the better, in my opinion. That's when I met Andy Music, when I was with Shadrach. Shadrach took me to Buddies. And I met Andy, and Andy has become my producer ever since that time, till today. Yeah, so. And what brought me back anyway to Swangs again, we have always maintained a good relationship with Swangs and everything. So like when I started to sing again, we're now fully independent, we're doing our own thing, but we are doing our own thing and not really even knowing what we are doing, you know? We are just kind of throwing things at the wall and, you know, whatever sticks. So, you know, you can't do that forever. You can do that in the beginning and maybe you get some luck. And I was fortunate enough to get some luck with the Nilo and everything. So we were having success even with this Young Z thing when I rebranded. Nilo is like my biggest song of my entire career. Nilo is even bigger than anything that I did those days. Yeah. You know, as a child, a lot of people like to say that, Criminal Swag, why your music was better those days? Why are you singing this nonsense? I'm like, yo, dog, you guys, I never had even one hit those days. Mm-hmm. Criminal Swag was known like on a national level, but I can never say that it was a hit song. It was not. Okay. It's not like Nilo, a full blown hit, you know, fully crossing borders and that. So yeah, we got success. But again, we were not really knowing what we are doing. So, you know, thank God for my father. My father has always been there advising and telling us how to maneuver. Even him, he's not a music guy, but I mean, he's like, it's me and him in this thing. So for him, he was like, you know what? Man, why don't we go back to Swangs? He had been telling me to go back to Swangs for a long time and I was refusing. Like, I didn't want to go. I was like, I want to do my own thing. Like,
yeah.
But he was telling me that because, like, he was already seeing, like, man, this guy didn't really know what he's doing. Like, mm-hmm. You know, he needs some guidance, needs a machine behind him to assist him. So, and we thank God that our relationship with Swangs has always been open. So it was just a matter of having a conversation and you know, we get the things rolling. Yeah.
No, that's definitely amazing. And I believe, like, Swangs is one of the leading record labels in Uganda, East Africa. All the quality of music that they produce is really amazing. So I think it's a good decision. I'm not like a music critic or anything. I love good music. And I really love your song that you've released with them. The Pull Up, it's really good. We're vibing on it in the BTS. And you guys, I know all the listeners, if you've not checked out that song, I promise you, like, people on the podcast, they know I love music. And I only recommend good music. That song, Pull Up. If that song doesn't get you off your seat, I don't know what will get you off the seat. You know, like, Pull Up.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you. I think that person will need therapy or something. You need to check something. But no,
counseling. It is some counseling.
That song is fire. And I think you making the decision to come back to Swangs is great and be great for your career. I just think, like, again, I say I'm not a music professional. I don't have any professional music, but just seeing what Swangs has done with their artists and the music is fire. But what I was gonna ask you about Pull Up, how did you come up with Pull Up? The song Pull Up, it's a good song. Like, if you know what Pull Up means, you know what the song means. Like, Pull Up, hey. Pull up.
Yeah, man. Now, Pull Up. That's a brilliant question. Thank you for asking. You see, it goes back to the thing I was saying with Shadrach, when I hooked up with Shadrach and I met Ande Music. Because Ande Music is also the producer of Pull Up, plus a bunch of other songs. So this guy, Ande Music, he has been my producer for all these years. And me and him, like, we have like an understanding of each other. You get me? Like, I've spent so much time with Ande that, like, he knows what I want and he knows how to do it, like, pretty much better than anybody else, really. I still work with a lot of other producers, but every time I go to Ande, we always hit the nail on the head, just like with Pull Up, you know? So, yeah, man, that song, just thank the producer so much because he understands my ideas and he brings them to life. He brings them to life. So big up on the music.
Big up on the music. And you say you're a songwriter. Did you write that song?
Yes, I wrote the entire song. Yeah, I did. And I don't write per se. I write in my head. I don't write anything on a paper.
On paper, okay.
I don't write anything on a paper.
You just show up to the studio. You like it in your head and you just show up to the studio and give them a hit.
Yeah. Anyway, it's kind of complicated. It's a complicated process.
Okay.
Like, personally, I don't like recording. I don't like those things of going to studio and there are many people. I love being alone in the studio and I can record myself. So I do it is Ande usually produces the beat. I'll sit there with him and I'll tell him what I want and he will try to come up with something. Then he will walk out of the room and he will leave me there to record. Record.
Yeah.
You know? And I like it like that. I like to be alone with the microphone. I feel like it's where you can be more of yourself.
Real. Yeah, you're real. You know? Yeah.
You can, more real and And yeah, man, so that's how I did it, man. I've spent so many years in the studio that I no longer really write, you know? I write in my head, and it's not like I freestyle. No, I don't freestyle. I go there and I repeat a certain maybe chorus or a few lines. I repeat it over and over and over and over until I have the vibe to go on the microphone to repeat those few lines. And I do this until the song is finished.
That is good. Yeah. That's a talent. That's what you call a talent right there. You say like, that's a talent. There's a lot of like these things we don't know in music. Like this is exactly what I was saying at the beginning. Like a lot of us, the fans, we don't know these behind the scenes. Like, why is this guy's music sound like this? How does this guy like show up to see? Like what? But we'll hear somebody else's story, then we'll try to assume this is what Zaga does. But Zaga does it different. He doesn't do it like anybody else. His style like is different. So, and that's the cool part I like about the podcast.
I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to move to the cover art for the song Pull Up. Who came up with the idea of the cover art? It's the cover art is pretty good. I like
it. Yeah, thank you, my bro. And you know what's crazy is we kind of just did that thing last minute. You get me? Like I was the one who Nash usually makes the artworks, eh? My manager Nash usually he teams up with some other people and they do the artwork. But I think they had sent me some ideas and I wasn't really feeling it. So I was the one, I was like, no. Let me first go on Google. I just go on Google. I was like, I wanted a car. I wanted a girl. And I wanted something blue behind. So I just started searching car and the sky. Car and sky. That's how I got that picture of the car on the beach. You get me? And then we didn't have a girl, so Nash I think is the one who added that black girl on the on the cover. Yeah.
But
so,
see, I'm telling you something. Like there's a lot of people who think music is just music, but there's a lot of like music is just getting a microphone and just sing. But there's music is art. What you just described that right there is like art coming up with that. And there's a lot of people who don't pay attention to cover arts. I don't think a lot of people even put their thoughts on the cover art. But I look at it. And the cover art explains to you what the song is about. Even if a deaf person who can't hear words looks at the cover art, it's something about a ride and something about picking up a girl or something. You can put things together like pull up and then think about a girl and then there's a car, there's a girl. It explains what the song is
about.
You know?
And it's like, it's detailed to us. Like, you can feel like, man, this is personalized. Like, this wasn't just like something that they just smacked together. Nah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about me. Like, I want to always personalize my stuff. I don't want to just leave it to the next man and he does everything for me. Because you might not know what I like. Yeah? For you, you might like the picture where I'm looking very funny. For me, I might like the picture where I'm looking very nice. You get me? So you have to be involved. Yeah? 200%. You have to. You have to.
No, yeah, it has to be meaningful to you because like you, that's what you were saying, like meaningful to you. You look at it like it makes sense and you like it yourself. So I really like the cover art that you had on there. So I have a question I want to ask you. Oh, no. I was going to mention, I like the line, pull up and just come slide.
Pull up and just come slide. Yeah, yes, man.
That's a line. Atakategede. Oh, Jakarta Gira. You will understand.
Yeah, man. The girl have to come, you know. She have to come and slide.
Yes, sir. Zaga, a question I want to ask you is, if you were not a musician, what would you have been?
Yeah. I would probably be dead, man. I would probably be dead.
What?
I would be 6 feet under. God damn it. I swear to God, because for me, anyway, no, actually, the truth, anyway, is even before music, my first ever dream as a child, my first ever hero, before I even knew anything about music, I used to love animals. I really loved animals. And there was this guy on Animal Planet. You know, most kids used to be watching cartoons and watching Disney Channel. Bruh, I was watching cartoon. I was watching Animal Planet. Mm-hmm. Hey, that was my cartoon network. I swear to God, I used to watch that thing like CNN, bruv, mm-hmm. at like 4 years old. So, yeah, there was this white guy. He's called Steve Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter. That guy was like my first hero in my entire life. That's who I wanted to be when I was a child. I wanted to be like Crocodile Hunter, go out there and swim with crocodiles and stuff, you know. I really had a love for animals so deeply, and I still do. But I don't know, man. Like, for me, music, like, I can't see myself like without music. Music is like my life.
Yeah.
It's the reason I'm here. Like, this this is spiritual, dog. This is deep. Like, I'm one of them ones. Like, I'm not one of them niggas like who just comes and sings because of hype. Like, bruh, I've been doing this like for over 10 years, dog. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. You know this.
One of the things you said, I can't see myself without music, and music is life. Like, there's a lot of people who play soccer, like these soccer players, football. Those people who play football, you see, football is life. Like, we were talking about El Clasico, like, you know, at the beginning of the podcast. And you see these football players, ask them, I can't see myself without football. Like, without football, there's nothing else. And that tells you a lot about the person. When somebody says, I can't see myself without music, like, you don't give yourself room for plan B.
But, yeah, bro. And that's how I am, like, do or die. Yes, like, that's what I told myself. That's what I even told my mother. I was like, yo, for me, it's either I be a billionaire or I die in the process. Like, that's it. Like, I don't have any other option.
You remind me of 50 Cent. Get rich or die try. Yeah. No literature.
That's
no
what
surrender.
I told my mom. That's what I told her. I was like, yo, man, for me, I'm going to be a billionaire. I'm going to succeed in my music. I'm going to be the biggest thing to ever come out of this nation. Or I'm going to die in the process.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm so serious about it, dog. Like, I'm dead ass. Like, me and this music is for life, bro.
For life. And that's a goal. That's a way to go with it. And most people who don't have that spirit, they're the ones who quit. But you got to keep going and keep doing what you're doing and see your dreams come true. The other question I was going to ask you is your style of dressing, your fashion. You dress nice. You represent yourself very well.
Thank you.
Your fashion is good.
Thank you, my bro.
Who inspires your fashion, and who do you look up to for your fashion?
You know, that's another crazy... Thank you for asking me that, bro. Because it's crazy. Like, now I have to start talking about my mother. You see, my mom, she's... I don't get this sense of style from nobody other than maybe hip-hop culture, because that's what really influenced me as a child. You know, I really love the hip-hop culture and everything. But at the same time, my mom, she's a fashionista. She has been doing fashion like for 30 years, 20 years, you get me? So we have always been stylish, all of us, our entire lives, just because of her. And me in particular, I love clothes. I love to look good. I love I think it's another form of expression, you know, just like how you sing. What even your dress is another form of your expression. So I don't know, man. I just like looking good, man. And I thank God that my mom has been selling clothes all these years, because it rubbed off on me, you know.
Yeah.
It rubbed off on me.
No, that's really good. And I like the line you said, the way you dress is a representation of yourself. Like, you take yourself, like, hey, people take you serious when they see how you dress. And it all comes together in that, in whatever you do. And it's a blessing to have your mom in fashion. Your dad loves your music, supportive. It's always good to have a supporting system in your music. And
exactly.
And
we thank God, because most youths don't have that. And they are suffering, bro. They are suffering. They are depressed. They are what? Like, yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
And they say charity begins at home. And exactly, that's an explanation of your, like, support starts from home. And then you can also take the support another place. But yeah, we've talked about, and you, I had a question about Nailo, but we talked about Nailo a while back. Are there any future projects you have coming up? I know in the beginning you told me there's a lot more coming.
Yes, sir. So, man, we got that Sumbi vibes. Everybody, this is not the Illuminati. This is a Sumbi, all right? The Sumbi vibes EP, highly anticipated by everyone who loves Zagazi. They know about this already, you know. So, I have my debut EP coming out, man. And just know, like, I've gone so hard on this project, bro. Mm-hmm. I've gone too hard, actually, like, too hard. This project was the album before. But when I went to Swangs and when we came to Swangs this time, after meetings and stuff, we have now decided it's now an EP, you know, just to fit the market right now, because people aren't really digesting many songs. You get me? You can't just do some 15 song album right now, dog. You're not gonna. Yeah. People's attention spans, they don't work like that no more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's now an EP, the Sumbi Vibes EP. 5 songs. I have collabs all over the block. All over EA, we got collabs all over the block. We got serious production. Yeah. This is a big statement in urban music in Uganda. The Sumbi Vibes EP. It is a big statement, my bro. It's a big one. We're taking it up there.
I like that, because I think your music, like you mentioned this in the beginning, is unique in its own way, like the way you deliver it. Like even, I use Pull Up. I know Pull Up, you have many more songs than Pull Up, but I'll use Pull Up as an example. When you listen to it, you know, if you love music, if you understand music, you know, it's unique in its own way, like the vibes, the lyrics, and the style. On top of it, the cover art, the video you made for it, like it's just unique and it's different.
Thank you, my bro. And it's because I have my own genre, you know? I have my own genre music that I didn't explain. And I like to call this genre Zaga Vibes. This is the term I coined. And to make it simple for everyone to understand, Zaga Vibe is the music that inspired me, like from childhood till now, that I infused to create my own sound. So the music that inspired me is obviously hip hop at the start, the Waynes, the T.I.s. But very quickly, I fell in love with the Afro beats and the Wizkid. So the Zaga vibe is made up of a strong hip hop foundation, a heavy Afrobeat influence, a very mild but potent dance hall and reggae touch. You get me? And the sprinkle of funk and classics. You get me? That's what makes Zaga Vibe. That's what you hear and Pull Up. That, and you be like, oh, this sound is so unique. What? Mm-hmm. That's why it's the way it is.
No, that's definitely. And I like that you explain it to us, because I'm a host, I asked you the question. I wasn't like understanding. There's no way I could explain it to the listeners. But I know it was different.
Exactly.
So hearing it from you makes a lot of sense. Like now we can understand what this style is like. And it's a combination of different other style of music. So
exactly.
So Zage, being an artist, being a musician comes with a lot of, I want to call it stress, a lot of challenges, a lot of things. But being in the public, that there is challenges. I'll use one example of like, you are mine, but there's a challenge of like women, you know, they like celebs, they like to hang out with people. How do you avoid those kind of distractions, or how do you handle relationships in your position as an artist?
Man, it's tricky, bro. It's tricky. God damn it. Anyway, what I can tell you, me as me, I like to practice the anyway, I don't want to say that I fear women, because I don't fear women. I don't fear them. And I don't think you should fear women. But you should practice some bit of caution every time, especially when you're somebody who is a little bit known, you're an artist, you're what? Because the truth is that most of these girls, they don't really love us. They don't really give a damn about us. You get me? She's just seeing like, oh, this guy is trending. Oh, I think this guy has money. Oh, this guy. It's never for the right reasons. It's just like never for the right reasons. And me, I'm a very real person, bro. Like, whether it's my music, whether it's what, I'm just too real. Like, I can't deal with that fakeness. I can't. Like, my girl cannot, like, be with me because I'm trending. You get me? Like,
because that means can't. If you're not trending, she's going to leave.
Yeah. Like, she can't be with me because I'm trending or because I've signed a contract or because so anyway, it's difficult, man. Most artists, they are either single or they just accept to be used by the women and stuff. So it's really difficult, bro. It's really, really difficult. Yeah. But me as me, I just try to I just avoid a lot of funny things. Like, I avoid. If you see me with a girl, it's because she really likes me. Mm-hmm. You get me? It's because she really likes me, not because I'm late.
So on the podcast here, every time I get people to come here to talk about different stuff, I've been bringing up this topic, and it's been trending lately on Instagram about dating in Kampala. You know, dating in Kampala is now getting hard, like finding a woman like really loves you. You even said it.
It has most been very girls, hard. It has,
it has especially for hard. The guys. Especially for the guys. So you find this chick, she tells you she loves you, everything, a lot, but then she has four more other people, you know? But what
bro,
is your take?
She has
what
even is your like take? Seven in Mbarara, three in Tongamo,
and then
you
some,
get me?
Some in the diaspora in London, USA, America,
is a dollar. She has a sugar daddy in China, one in SA, plus two in the States.
Yeah.
Serious.
So
serious.
What is your take on girls asking for money and the guys giving girls money? Because that's been a hot topic here. Like, girls, some of them have come on the podcast and they said they are entitled to receiving money from guys. What is your take on that?
Yeah. Man. Anyway, personally, I really don't like it when I see girls lowering themselves to that thing of, oh, the man must pay, bitchy, bitchy. What do you mean the man must pay? Even things that your father has not paid, I must pay? Mm-hmm. You're mad. You're mad, dog. You're mad. Me can't do that. I can't. I can't. And that thing of transport, transport money, I think that thing is a bit childish. Maybe if we're still under 18, maybe like you can get away with that. But even then, these girls used to bring themselves, you know? So I don't know. I feel like that thing, dating is for people who are financially stable. First stabilize, then date. Don't enter the market unstable. That's Zaga's advice. That's some Zaga's advice right there, dog.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Dating is for those who are financially stable. But I also, like for me, I also add in like, if you're going to date somebody, first find out what they do. Because if you're dating a girl who does not work, then it's a burden you're carrying, you know, because she's going to look up to you for everything, for transport money, clothes, food, and you're going to become a boyfriend, you're going to become her dad, you're going to become everything, you know.
You need to date women that like you, man. A woman that likes you can't tell you that stuff of baby, what? No, she'll feel a bit ashamed. And those duties are for, I was even watching something today. You see those duties of paying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Those are not for boyfriends. Those are for husbands. Eh? when you marry, what? Okay, then you bring all your problems. I solve them. No problem. Because that's what girls really want at the end of the day. They're looking for like father figures and stuff. You get me? She's not even really looking for love. She just wants somebody to lead her and guide her. So
that's another second advice right there.
Come on, come on. Yeah. We've been in these streets, my bro. Yeah. We've been in these streets. You get me?
No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think you put it right. And I'm sure I'm going to put that out there. People will connect with you and will understand that. A lot of people look at the girlfriends are looking for that kind of wife privileges, looking for them from boyfriends, which I don't think boyfriends are supposed to do that at the time, because you guys are still figuring it out, trying to see if you guys fit or stuff like that. So I don't think you should put stress to the guys and all that. But yeah, Zaga, I have three questions I want to ask you before I let you go. These are questions I ask every guest that I have on the podcast. One of it is...
Let's go!
What has been a life lesson you've learned in life until to this point?
I can say, don't take everything personally. Don't take everything personally. Sometimes... things happen for a reason. Sometimes things happen because maybe the guy was going through some, or the girl was going. Don't think it's all about you. You know, life is crazy, bro. And it's this thing of perspective, just changing your perspective, can really help you navigate. So please, that's one thing I can say. I'm also still learning to not take everything personally. It's a journey.
That's a good one. That's a good lesson right there. The other one, what gets you excited about life?
My music. The studio, going on stage, singing for my fans, think about the future, conquering the world, breaking records, meeting all the people who I've idolized, and, you know, just accomplishing all my dreams, man. That's what keeps my heart beating, you know? Keeps me going, man. Keeps me going.
Before I ask you the final question, is there anything that I've not asked you today that you'd wish, like, oh man, I wish this guy had asked me about this, that you wanted to tell to your listeners, your fans out there?
You know, man, for me, I'm just even thankful for being here. Whatever you didn't ask or what, maybe you'll ask it the next time. Yeah, you get me? Yeah, me, yeah. I'm just happy we did this thing. Like, I'm that type of person. I'm just happy that it happened. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. The final question, which is my signature question for the podcast, is who would you like to see on this podcast next as a guest? And you're going to help me find that person to come and be our guest on this podcast. It could be anyone.
Uh-huh. Who is that? Who is that, babe? Man, she has a big nyash.
Is she a musician?
No, she's like, she's a socialite type. Nampera.
Nampera. Okay.
Yeah. We want to zig that nyash.
Nampera, wherever you are, the podcast has spoken. We want you to be the next guest on the podcast.
Yo, my people, they call me Zagazi, Zagazillions. I'm right here on the Ugandan Boy Talk Show, Dance Class Studios. Sure, you know what it is. Yeah, man.
Thank you very much, Zaga. Thank you.
My bro, it has been a blessing, man. Yeah, let's do this again. We have to do this once a year, please.
Okay,
twice a year event.
Definitely. I would love to have you again. I can't wait for the listeners to get to know a little bit about you, your life, the things that they don't know. There's a lot of things you've shared today that a lot of people out there do not know about you. And I'm excited for the fans and the world to hear your story and your journey.
Amen to that, my friend. Amen.
Hey there, my name is Bonnie Chibuka, the podcast host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit the like button. Don't forget to subscribe. Also, leave a feedback on this podcast, so that's how we grow. Thank you very much and be blessed.